Ephesians 2. Matter of fact, it's already on the screen, so Karen, you can just leave that on the screen for now. But Galatians 2. And this has been our theme for Galatians. It's Galatians 2:20. And so let's read this together. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. Okay, recording back there? Okay, great. All right, heading into our sermon time today, I want to ask you something. And this is probably not the best question to start out with on a sermon time, but have you ever done something foolish? Oh, wow. I hate to have you think of those things, doggone it. But have you ever done something so foolish that as you look back, you think, what was I thinking? You can't even hardly contemplate what it would mean for you to even make the decision that you made then as you think about that now. And foolishness of your decision then was just like, why didn't someone stop me or tell me that I'm about to do something so incredibly stupid and foolish? Now, I'm not meant to incite guilt and shame this morning. Just the reality check is that all of us can relate to doing something what? Foolish. We can all relate. Now, your foolishness may not have been my foolishness, but it doesn't matter. We've all had that, as a song, a momentary lapse of reason. And just, wow. I tell you, my preference this morning, if I can just share with you just in full confidence, my preference is not to do foolish things. Can we agree on that together? I don't want to do foolish things. And in particular, I don't want to do foolish things when it comes to my faith or when it comes to spirituality, that is, who we are in Christ. I don't want to do that. And here's an amazing context. Now think about this. We've all mentioned this, and I think we can agree on it. We just wish that someone would have told us this before we made our foolish decision. Guess what? You get to now step into the exact moment in Scripture today. You see, we're in Galatians 3. We read Galatians 2:20, but now we're in Galatians 3. And in Galatians 3, we're now at that moment where the Galatian church, the churches of Galatia, remember, there are a bunch of house churches in many towns in the region of Galatia, and they're stepping into foolish decisions. Foolish decisions. And we're right at that moment where Paul is telling the Galatian church how to go from foolish to blessed. Do you think that'd be beneficial for you to know? Well, I think it would be. How to go from foolish to blessed. And Paul has a word for the Galatian church, and it starts in Galatians 3, verse 9. Galatians 3, verse 9. So if you got your Bibles, go there. Galatians 3, verse 9. And this is what the Bible said. So those who have faith are what? Blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. And that's what I want to be today, is I want to be that man of faith, or in your case, if so be, a woman of faith. But Paul says, if I rely on my faith, if I have faith, I'm what? Blessed. So here's the question as we start out today together on this Sunday morning. The question for all of us is this: how many of us prefer being a blessed person or being a foolish person? I think I want to be a blessed person, okay? You love that picture? It reminds me of a preacher, Chris and Bobby Novak, their church, the guy's name there is Stan. One day I showed up church over there to talk to him, and he had his arm in a sling. And I said, Stan, what happened to you? He says, well, you'll never guess what happened. I said, well, I'm asking, what happened to you? I was up on a ladder with my chainsaw, sawing a limb off the tree, and I actually sawed the limb off that my ladder was on. He had broke his shoulder, broke his arm. He just messed himself up pretty bad. So that verse reminds me of then. So if you look at verse 9, it starts with a word. What's the word? So. You see, what Paul is doing, he's summarizing. He's summarizing verses 1 through 8. So if you're ever reading Scripture, and sometimes people ask, well, how do I read the Bible? Well, this is how you read the Bible. When you see a word like so, so that, or so therefore, or so then, you need to realize that the author has just summarized something. So go back and find out what he's summarizing. And what I'm about to find out along with you is I'm learning that the Galatian church was having a tough time living by faith. And so it only makes sense as you and I hear therefore so or so then, we go back and try to unpack the verse. Because remember, I'm blessed if I live by what? Faith, okay? I'm blessed if I live by faith. So here's what I think is going on. I get the impression from Paul that he wants to teach the churches of Galatia how to live in faith, not live like fools. Which would you choose? I want to live in faith. That's what I want to do. I want to live in faith, okay? So starting right into it, here we go. Number one is this. It is foolish to be bewitched and blinded to the cross of Jesus. It is foolish to be bewitched and blinded to the cross of Jesus. Galatians 3 verse 1 says this. You foolish Galatians, strong words. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as what? Crucified. You know, the first thing I think of, I think of bewitched, is what you probably think of, right? Remember that? Remember that, wrote? The show Bewitched, and some of you younger generation are going, what are you talking about? Well, there's a show back in the 60s, I think it was from 64 to 72. Elizabeth Montgomery played a witch, if you will, on TV, and she married a man, Darren. Yeah, he was immortal, so it was a witch married to immortal. Cute show. I did find out something interesting, that Elizabeth Montgomery's mom, Agnes Morehouse, was that her name? Moorhead, okay. That she was a Christian. That she would actually show up to the set with a Bible in one hand and was good friends with the original Darren. That's a tangent, but I thought that was really cool. But when I think of the word bewitched, I think of a woman doing this a lot, or twinkling her nose, okay? So, but bewitched, what's the term bewitched mean? Tricked, maybe. Led astray. Enchanted, a spell. You're charmed. You know, it would be fair to say that as 16-year-olds, I was bewitched by my wife. I was charmed by her, under her spell, if you will. Not necessarily a bad way, of course. But anyway, what's Paul saying here? Paul is saying this. Look, guys, Christ followers, Galatians, who has fascinated you? Who has charmed you? Who has enchanted you in such a way that you no longer see the cross of Jesus? You know, I can't help but say it on as we approach the Christmas season. I rarely see people enchanted by the manger in Christmas. I see them more enchanted by Cyber Monday and Black Friday. I have to tell you, it gives my spirit a lot of good when I come in the town of Sheridan from the east and I see Jesus' name in the park, in the Sheridan Park. There's no other name. And so as I think about Jesus, what happens when you and I lose sight of the cross of Christ? It says right there, we're foolish. We've been bewitched and we're foolish. Anytime you lose sight of Jesus Christ coming to earth to save you, Jesus Christ to die on a cross to save you from hell, you are a fool. And so for you and I and the church of Galatia, he's admonishing to live by faith. And so listen, to live by faith is to acknowledge daily, moment by moment, Jesus Christ crucified. That's what we have to do. Have to do that. Number two is this. It is foolish to forget the Spirit in us to focus on us or our works. It is foolish to forget the Spirit in us to focus on us or our works. Look at the Bible says in Galatians 3 again. He says, before you're very, I would like to just learn one thing from you. He's talking to the church in Galatia. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, you're now trying to attain your goal by human effort. Remember, he's speaking to the church in Galatia. So they became Christians like you became Christians. And when do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us when we're immersed into Christ, Acts 2:38, that's when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No doubt he's influencing us to make that decision, but that's when he chooses to come inside and indwell us. It's the same for the Galatians. And Paul's reminding them, wait a minute, did you receive the Spirit by obeying the rules of the Mosaic Law? And they're going, well, no, I didn't. All you had to do was believe in Jesus Christ and submit to his immersion into him, and you became a Christian. Well, how did you come to believe in Jesus? Well, what would your answer would you give? How did you come to believe in Jesus? Okay, God's word. That's an excellent point. Because the Bible says this in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You cannot have a faith unless you choose to hear the words of Christ. That's how we come to have faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by following the law, it's by following God's word. None of us did anything, but simply hear the word of God about Jesus and have faith in that. That's how we do it. But the Galatians were thinking, oh, wait a minute, I did that, sure, but I think what I have to do, I have to keep my faith, and I know I can still work in the Spirit if I follow the Old Testament law. And look at Galatians 3, verse 3 again. First four words are what? Are you so foolish? They're forgetting. And Paul is just devastated and concerned about them. And so he's saying, wait a minute, Church of Galatia, wait a minute. All you had to do is believe in Jesus for your salvation and submit to his immersion into his name to receive the gift of the Spirit. Was that a work for you, Church of Galatia? And how would you respond? No, it wasn't a work. So then Paul's now almost saying to them, he says, wait a minute, Churches of Galatia, you believe that now you have to do works of law and deeds to get to heaven? Is that what you have to do now? And how would we respond to that? So really the question for the Church of Galatia is, who are you consulting with, church? Are you consulting with the Holy Spirit or people? And what answer would he know about the churches of Galatia? They're consulting people. Look, this is really important. Anytime you focus on you, your works, and the works of others, you're a fool. That's what Paul's saying. Anytime you focus on you, your works, or the works of others, you're an absolute fool. But listen, to live by faith, think about this. To live by faith is to acknowledge daily, moment by moment, the gift of Spirit freely given through Jesus Christ crucified. That's what it means for us, daily, day by day, moment by moment. The next one is Galatians 3, 4 to 5. It is foolish to forget the miraculous work of the Spirit in our God. It is foolish to forget the miraculous work of the Spirit in our God. Look at Galatians 3, 4 and 5. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Now let me ask you this question. How would you describe the work of the Spirit in you? Now if you want to say it out loud, you can say it out loud, it's fine. But think about that. Today, if someone asked you this question, and I am asking the question, and I want you to seriously consider it in your heart, and speak it out if you can, how would you describe the work of the Spirit in you right now? Now think about it. How are you experiencing the Holy Spirit? Now, for us as Christians, the Holy Spirit becomes somewhat of a pragmatic word, if you will. But I want you to think about this and ponder it for a moment. If you don't have a clue and can't necessarily verbalize how the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now or how he's working in your past, then maybe what Paul has just said is a warning for you as well. Because Paul is trying to call upon their experiences. Now, look. The book of Acts is an amazing text. So if you go to Acts 14 with me, because I'm going to go there right now. So Acts 14. You see, Acts 14 responds to the time when Paul was in the region of Galatia. And he's in the region of Galatia, and he's working with the people there in Galatia. And we're going to be in Acts 14, 3 to 10. And he's calling on their experiences. Their experiences with the Holy Spirit in the past. Their experiences and how they experienced Jesus for initially. And so I start in verse 3. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do what? Miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided, Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. Verse 5, there is a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to Lyconian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country where they continued to preach the good news. I looked it up and I pronounced the names wrong just now, but we'll worry about that later. Verse 8, in Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and never walked. Remember, this is in the region of Galatia. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that moment, the man jumped up and began to walk. And so when Paul is there in Galatians, he's reminding them what they experienced. He's also reminded that there was suffering going on, because you know what happened next? They thought Paul and Barnabas were gods. And because they thought Paul and Barnabas were gods, they wanted to worship them. But then what they also found out, the same time that a crowd thought they were gods, another group from the previous town who wanted to stone them showed up on the scene. They convinced the crowd who wanted to call them gods and worship them to say that now they need to be stoned. And Paul was stoned. Can you imagine the scenery? You see a man healed, a crowd praising, to a crowd stoning all at the same time. And so Paul's calling on their intellect to remember back. Remember back when all these things happened. Remember that? Was it all for vain that all those things happened? Look, let me ask you a question, folks. In that Acts 14 passage, did you hear anything about the Old Testament law? No. If you follow the Old Testament law, this man can get up. Did you hear that? Does it make sense to us now that Paul is saying, you Galatians are so foolish? Why is it that you think miracles happen through the Old Testament law when miracles happen through the Spirit of Jesus Christ? You're so foolish. You think, well, how does that relate to us today, preacher? Here's how it relates to us, and it happens all the time. I see Christians do this all the time. Something happened really good and fortunate in a Christian's life, or maybe they missed an injury or missed an illness or missed near-death experience, and say, wow, that was lucky. We miss it. Now, this may be something you already know. I want you to recognize something. There's no such thing as luck. And to say something's lucky is to miss what God is actually wanting us to see. Listen, to live by faith is to acknowledge daily, moment by moment, the gift of the Holy Spirit that God is always working miracles. Always. Well, but what about this and this and this? I get that. But call upon your experience. Where have you seen the gift of the Holy Spirit in God working miracles in people's lives? It didn't take far to look, people. Paul starts to change his tone at this point. He starts to change his tone. He's got a new mindset. He starts to explain something. You see, there's something that Paul can call upon the Jews of that church in Galatia to acknowledge, and that they recognize Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. And so the Galatian Jews recognized Father Abraham, but Paul is about to explain to them that Abraham was no fool and why he was no fool. He just told them they're fools, but look, I'm going to bring another guy into the conversation. His name is Abraham, and he is no fool. Now, I'm going to call upon your biblical timeline history, okay? Timeline of history. Let's see if you can get this. Who came first, Abraham or the Old Testament law? Abraham. Okay? Abraham came first. They knew this. Abraham came first. So Abraham lived before the Old Testament law, and this is significant. Number 4, Galatians 3:6. My faith in God and the work of Jesus makes me righteous. My faith in God and the work of Jesus makes me righteous. Galatians 3, verse 6. I go there to the scriptures. This is what it says. Consider who? Abraham, he believed God and was credited to him as what? Righteousness. Remember, who came first? Abraham or the Old Testament law? Abraham came first, and Abraham was considered righteous. The Galatian Jews were over here saying, hey, look, you people, if you want to be righteous, you Gentiles, you've got to follow what? The law, the Old Testament, you've got to do that. And now Paul's saying, wait a minute, guys, whoa, wait a minute. Abraham was righteous, and when did he live? Before the Old Testament law. Now, I want to draw upon your attention to that. So if you got your Bibles, go to Genesis with me. That's the very first book of the Bible. It's easy to find, I promise. First book, Genesis 15. Genesis 15, starting in verse 1. This is that moment when our father Abraham is considered righteous. After this, remember, whenever the Bible says after this, there's something to happen before that. Go there and read about it. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in his vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield and your very great reward. Abraham's name hasn't been changed because God hadn't established a covenant with him yet, but he's getting ready to. And Abram said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside. Now, can you imagine this? God taking Abraham outside. He took him outside and look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Next four words. Read it with me. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as what? Righteousness. Now, friends, there's a profound statement here, and God knows Abraham's heart, and Abraham's heart says what about God? Not only does he believe in God, but he believes God's promises. I believe God's promises. So then, is belief enough to be righteous with God? Well, what compels me, the next thought is this. If you read to the next verse, and we're not going to the rest of the chapter, you're going to find that a truth emerges. And a truth emerges is this, that a belief in God will always compel me, impel me, propel me to live in covenant with God. You may remember the story where Abraham had several animals and divided them in two, and God came down in a specific way and he made covenant with Abraham through a blood sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. How does God now in the New Testament make a blood covenant with you? Through Jesus' sacrifice. That's how God makes a blood covenant with you right now through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called believer's baptism. Believer's baptism says, I believe in God, and as I'm baptized into Jesus, immersed into Jesus, I become one with Jesus, and the blood of Jesus covers my life in such a way that I'm living in righteousness and covenant with Jesus. And so think about this. To live by faith in God is to acknowledge daily, moment by moment, the gift of Jesus' sacrifice, to live in covenant and be in righteousness with God. That's powerful, to be in covenant and righteous with God. Wow, ponder that. Galatians 3:7, my faith in God, not my works, places me in the family of God. My faith in God, not my works, places me in the family of God. Galatians 3, verse 7, I'm going back there now, okay? Galatians 3, verse 7 says this, understand then, that those who believe are children of who? Of Abraham. We sang that song all the time, don't we? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and you are too. You know, back in 19, I can't remember the date. Timelines escape me. Early 80s. My mom and dad, we went to a DFS office, went to the DFS office, and my mom and dad went inside. My brothers and I were in the car, likely trying to kill each other. They came out of the car, and in their hands, they had a small child, an infant, 6 months old. That's about Davin's age. And my brothers and I were intrigued. There's not much to get little boys to shut their mouth, but that little child did. And as we began to unpack the story of that little girl that my parents had that was 6 months old, she was a 6 month old weighing about the weight of a newborn. And some of you know this story, some of you don't. But that little newborn became my sister. We adopted her. But the story went, the reason she was taken away, because her parents lived above a bar. And when her parents wanted to go out in the town, they would attach a nipple to a 7-Up bottle, prop up the pillow into her mouth, and they go down to the bar. And my sister didn't thrive in that environment. She was actually dying. Well, I'm not sure how she survived three brothers, but she did survive. Grace of God. She's actually the parents to my mom and dad right now. She's remarried, and she lives right next, literally right across the driveway from my parents. But I can recall as a family going to that judge's room in that courthouse so many years ago, and I don't know how old Kisha was. My memory escapes me at this moment. But the judge began to ask several questions. And to my pondering, this is how I recall a judge asking. Now, I'm sure it's different, but I was a child then. Don't recall back as well now. But one of the things I consider the theme of the judge's questions was, do you believe that you're a part of this family? Well, when you're a little girl, so 6 months old, and you've grown up in this household on the farm with three boys and parents, what do you think you're going to answer? Well, sure, I believe I'm part of this family. And then the next question, I believe that, or at least the theme of the question, do you believe these people love you? And what do you think that little girl answered? You bet. Guess what that judge did? By his one signature, he did what? He sealed her to become a part of the family because of what she chose to believe. Based on what she chose to believe in, that judge signed, sealed, and delivered, for better or for worse, that she was a Blaine. Poor kid. Let me ask you something. When you and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and takes away our sin, what happens? We become part of a family. God the Father acknowledges your belief and the fact that you went in covenant relationship with him through Jesus Christ, and now you are part of the family. That's why if you look at the verse again, he says, those who believe are children of Abraham. Abraham had faith and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so when you and I choose to believe in God through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, that we have inheritance in heaven, guess who becomes our great-great-grandpa? Abraham. And so since Abraham was credited to him as righteousness, now I now have a family whose name is righteousness. Now Abraham is my father. And so think about this. To live by faith, folks, to live by faith in God is to acknowledge daily, moment by moment, that I am in the family of God. Do you know those two gals on the screen? They're part of our family. It's not too bad a picture, Kate. It's a good picture of you. It's flattering. You're part of a family. I can't for the life of me understand why we forget that as people. We stick with each other's family. And we work through our issues because we have the same family inheritance, which is righteousness and justification in Jesus Christ. Number six. My faith in God, not my works, makes me justified. My faith in God, not my works, makes me justified. Verse 8 of Galatians 3. The scripture foresaw that God would, what's that word? Justify, say that with me. Justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. I want to ask you a question. He said something unique to Abraham. He said the word gospel. Gospel. Now, throw out some words. What does gospel mean to you? Okay, good news. Truth, okay? Good news is a popular word because that's literally what gospel means, is good news. Okay, what's the good news? What is it? We have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And a Savior saves us from what? Death, our sins. Our Savior saves us from our sin. Now, the good news is that I'm saved through Jesus Christ. Good news. How many of my sins are forgiven? Past? Present? Future? past, present, future are for all forgiven through... Folks, that's good news. That's good news. Wow. I mean, as I consider that, I'm thinking, what does that mean for me? It's powerful. Because when I'm forgiven of my sin, past, present, and future, it means in Christ, it means I'm justified before God. Romans 5:1, it's not in your bulletin. It's something I just want to throw in there. So you can write that down, look it up here. The Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with our God through Jesus Christ. And what the angel said that first night? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Why do they have peace? They have peace because the Savior is born, and the Savior saves you from what?
Sin.
Your sin. What does it mean to be justified? It means this, just as if I've never sinned. Just as if I've never sinned. Let me ask you something. How many people have sinned against you? Would it matter?
No.
Because you remember them. And when you see that person that sinned against you, how do you treat them? How do you treat them? Come on, let's be real. You don't talk to them. You don't wave at them. And when no one's around, you talk about them. But Paul says, look, you're justified before God. That's what it means. It's just as if you've never sinned. So when you are in the presence of God, he treats you as someone who's just as if you've never sinned. You're justified. Past, present, and future sins are gone. And Paul tells us that the Gentiles are justified by what? Look again, the verse, by what? Faith. By faith. Just as if you never sinned, by faith. So think about this. To live by faith in God is to acknowledge daily, moment by moment, the faith in the cross of Christ makes me justified. That faith in the cross of Christ makes me justified. Finally, here's a thought. Galatians 3, verse 9, we're back where we started, full circle. We've come full circle. Here we are. When I rely on faith in God, not my works, I know I'm blessed. When I rely on faith in God, not my works, I know I am blessed. Reading verse 9 again in Galatians 3, here's what it says. So those who have faith, who are those? I hope it's us. Those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. I like the NAS, it says the believer. I once heard Rick Warren say this. He said this, and I'm paraphrasing, that if God only ever did one thing, and that was to save you from your sin, that would be enough. That would be enough. You don't need anything else. Matter of fact, you don't need anything underneath the Christmas tree. Just to wake up and acknowledge that you've been saved from sin, that's the best gift ever. Who cares about anything else? Best gift ever. So Paul is helping the churches, and I'm getting the impression he could be helping this church today too. And not just this church, but any church. He's helping the churches of Galatia and then maybe even this church too to recognize that when Christians rely on their faith, not their works, they can know they are blessed with living in justification and righteousness with God. Remember, justification means what? Just as if I've never sinned. And righteousness with God means I'm living in rightness with God. All by faith. Okay, so I asked the question, we've come full circle. Do you want to be blessed or foolish?
Blessed.
I want to be blessed. Hey, praise the Lord. High five. Woo. Okay, here's how we're going to do it. We're caught right in that moment. The Galatian church is. We get to learn from them today. Step into some very foolish decisions. And Paul just pointed out those things. Here we are from the top. It's foolish to be bewitched and blind to the cross of Jesus. It's foolish. Don't do that. It's foolish to forget the Spirit in us, to focus on us and our works. Don't forget the Spirit. It's foolish to forget the miraculous work of the Spirit in our God. Don't do that. Okay, but by faith, my faith in God and the work of Jesus makes me righteous. I'm right with God through my faith in him. All right? My faith, not my works, excuse me, places me in the family of God. My faith in God, not my works, makes me justified, just as if I've never sinned. And then finally, when I rely on faith in God, not my works, I know what? I'm blessed. Do you have faith today? Guess what you are?
Blessed.
You're blessed. And blessed people are awesome people to be around. I'm going to have to probably work on a sermon some more for me. Sometimes I don't think I'm blessed. And if I don't think I'm blessed, I'm becoming a fool. Hey, let's stand together, and I want to pray with you. And then when we close in our prayer time, I want to encourage you in a couple ways. One is this, that if you have a decision you want to make for Jesus, Hugh and Kay are right here. You can talk to them, pray with them. Bernie Lane are right here. You can talk to them, pray to them, seek them out. My wife has got a hold of a baby, and I'm around too, so you're welcome to connect with us, and we'll be glad to talk with you and share with you, or just listen. Sometimes you just want somebody to listen, and we'll be glad to listen. So I'm going to pray with you, and then after your prayer time, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have Karen play a song, and our song time, get up, this is very important, get up and find someone to fill out the yellow square. Last week I did that for a person that was here last week, and they really appreciated me asking them the question. And I had a chance to connect that person in the middle of the week, and it really encouraged him. That's why we do this, is to encourage one another. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the blessing of who you are. And Jesus, it's because of you that we're justified and righteous with our Heavenly Father. And Abraham was such a blessing for us to give us his story and how he followed you, Jesus. And all he had to do is have faith. Strengthen our faith, sweet Lord. We love you so much and pray in your name. Amen. Thank you for coming.